Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
That's a gay ass podcast.
What? That's a gay ass podcast.
What?
A really, really, really gay podcast that we call That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
That's a gay ass name for a gay ass podcast.
Colin Braun is on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Colin, you're a hot, hairy comedian. You are the exact person I love to talk to. How does it feel to be called hairy at minute one of this interview?
You know, it's pretty much expected. I've spent the last week and a half listening to episodes of this podcast, and to have only been called hairy this far in just means it's pretty tame so far.
And that is correct, because we are going to have some questions that do go below the hairy belt. However, before we get into that, I would like to know about this move that you have made to Dublin. Now, you have actually posted in a lot of your social media about this move, that you told many people that if Trump was elected, you would leave the country, which was a half joke because you thought it would never happen, and then it did. But you also posted, "Was I using escapism to cope with a hot guy dumping me? Maybe." Is that true? Were you dumped by a hot guy?
A bit. There was some hot guy that I hooked up with a few times. I thought it was going to become something, and then it didn't. And I have ADHD. People with ADHD, we do not handle rejection well. And I had gotten divorced 3 years ago. And so this was like, I was trying to get back into these forays of dating. And it just, for some reason, it just threw me for a complete loop. All my mental health progress just went right down.
That'll happen. That'll happen.
Yeah. And it was like in October, while the election is weeks away. And so I'm just in this kind of bad headspace. Meanwhile, there's all this talk of dictator on day one and big crowds of people with signs saying mass deportations now. One of my ADHD hyper-focuses throughout my life has been World War II and Chinese communism. So like, I got this really weird feeling, like, I'm just going to leave now. Like, if this happens, if they come back, I'm just going to leave now so that I'm not like dashing to the airport at the last minute with millions of other people.
No, I get that. I'm hearing a lot of short ADHD and the World War II fixations, but how do you feel about trains? Because I'm hearing autism, not that I'm a doctor or have any ability to diagnose a single thing, but do you identify with the A word at all?
So one doctor said I might have autism, and then one doctor said I might not have autism.
Perfect.
What I do know is that I've been in Europe for 8 months, and I can tell you, the trains are really one of the most exciting things about it, especially in Switzerland. And the high-speed trains in Spain, the train in Spain goes faster than a plane.
Well, he really is gay, y'all. He's giving us already a gorgeous allusion to the great form of musical theater. I have to let you know that I really am a fan of your comedy, a fan of your... I just love how open you are, especially... I do want to talk a bit about the gay divorce of it all, about your experience in Europe of it all. I first saw you on the podcast, Some of This is Bad. I love those queens, and they do such a great job. And your interview was just, yeah, the perfect balance of... You're this like nerdy intellectual that's also super hot, but also is down to talk about therapy and clearly trains. But since you are such an open king, I do want to get into some of your gay ass herstory. In fact, you hail from the country of Boston. What was it like being a gay kid there? And follow up, was your first boy-boy kiss with a fellow Bostonian, or did you wait to escape?
Growing up gay there wasn't great. In the more industrial parts of the Northeast, there's this weird masculinity kind of thing going on. That's very di that's it's different from the sort of all American lowest common denominator, like Midwest football cornfield type stuff. It's this like weird Boston Irish blue collar, what are you doing? Like, and it's not necessarily hateful. It's just that it's such a weird structure to be in. And to, I think it's just because honestly, it's a lot of Irish and Italian Catholics that came over with nothing, and they all had to kind of all do the same thing and work together to move forward. And so the kind of openness that you get out of like a Northern California culture, you just don't really get there. And so I wouldn't say it was the easiest, but politically, it's a super progressive place. Like, people might call you a faggot, but like they would say, of course you should be able to get married.
Right, you get go get married, faggot. It does seem like
Exactly.
they're sort of white knuckling masculinity, it feels like. I do though want to touch in on your Boston accent was impeccable. Would you say something horny and gay in that accent for me? Even just like a get on your knees.
Take your fucking shirt off.
I mean, it works. Works, Colin. No, I can only imagine that growing up gay in Boston, it's a very specific type of je ne sais quoi when it comes to like, you got to be a man. Would you say that? Because you do sort of present like dad, straight daddy, even though I know you love dick. But do you think that like that masculinity like sort of gave you this ability to be sort of a dude?
I would say so, yeah. So my parents split up when I was 8, and then my dad was out of the picture for a while. And my brothers were the kind of people who had friends and did sports, so they were out of the house. And so I would be in the house doing things like, going behind the TV with the cables, just like those things that kids do that they can do to help around the house, and like splitting wood and then like getting jobs and working. And then I ended up in engineering in the construction industry. And so I've just kind of always gravitated to these kinds of things, maybe for ADHD autism reasons.
Sure.
But I don't like the whole, granted, when I was younger, I was probably like one of those guys that was more like masked for masked kind of problematic-y about it. Now I just don't give a shit. I do what I want. Like, yeah, okay.
I think a lot of us did that. Sort of, we were
Yeah.
told that being a guy, it was really embarrassing to have any effeminate qualities. And so, like, I mean, that was the whole thing. Like, you're so gay is basically you're just not acting super macho. So, no, it's really, I mean, when people talk about like the fag scent of it all, when people talk about like someone being super queenie, like now it's to me it's like a great, it's a badge of honor, it's something to celebrate. But I do think like a lot of gay people have to get past the idea that hooking up or dating somebody with any sort of effeminate qualities is bad, and that's very freeing. Was we will get into like your current sort of horny tales and European sluttery, because that is my job as a gay journalist. But where what was your first sort of gay ass hookup, boy boy kiss? What was that like?
When I was 17, or maybe I was 16, I met up with a guy on, I think, OK Cupid. We went and saw the film The King's Speech,
Colin Firth, shout out.
which is a great movie, and it really ties in with my love of public speaking and World War II history. And then we got pizza, and then we went to his house, and then we did gay stuff. And what's funny is I have such a positive connection with that film, The King's Speech. I'll rewatch it. It's like Seinfeld. I'll rewatch it whenever, just as one of my comfort media. But on the flip side, that guy, we got pizza. He got a mushroom pizza with truffle oil on it, and I still to this day hate truffle oil, just because when he was kissing me, like that first guy that ever kissed me had really low quality truffle oil on his breath. And it's so funny because, like, I'll go to a fancy restaurant. I'm like, oh, we do truffle fries. And I have to be that guy going, ugh, gross. No, just the potatoes and the salt.
Wait, so why is it that the King's Speech then you have a positive correlation to that, but then the actual smell of truffle that was on his breath, was it a bad kiss? Was it a bad beej? Why was the truffle bad?
You know,
or did it just like, or just it just tasted or smelled bad? Maybe you just didn't like the aroma.
It's such a specific, concentrated flavor, and it was just a lot of. It was a sensory overload, maybe.
No, I get that. I mean, it really is what, a cousin to garlic, and we canonically don't like to kiss people with garlic on their breath. So, but like, you're right now drinking a, what, Guinness beer, which is so, so Irish of you. So, I mean, it is, and it's kind of fucking hot, if I'm being honest.
It is so good. Like, it's, over the summer, I was working for this farmer on his farm. I wasn't working for him. I was just living at his farm and doing work there. I was not employed because that would be illegal.
Right.
And I helped him out with his barley harvest. And he told me that some of the barley that he harvests ends up in Guinness. And I'm pretty sure he was just lying. Like, just telling tall tales. But maybe he wasn't. And I can tell you, it tastes so good in this country. And it tastes so bad in the United States. Because I've had it in both. It's so sad.
I know,
so good here.
But like, there are many parts of the European experience that are in fact better than us. You know, like, listen, we have many great things in America. Obviously, right now it's a nightmare. But like, but you know, the whether it's the beer, whether it's the bread, whether it's, I mean, even just the dick of Europe is really stunning. I do the paywall does go up in a few minutes, so I always love to tease when that's about to happen. But before we go into the paywall, I do want to ask also the famous gay ass podcast question, which is, Colin, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
With the caveat that I want to give an answer that a lot of people have also already given on this podcast, which is Batman Forever.
True.
But, like, I'm not into Robin from Batman Forever anymore. There is one media character who still, and for my entire life, is exactly the vibe of guy that I want, and that is Larry the Lobster from SpongeBob SquarePants.
Is it his proportions? Is it the gravelly voice? What's his voice?
SpongeBob, that was so righteous. Would you sign my pants? He's tall, and he has big arms, and he can really, you know. And he's always lifting weights at the beach, and he's friendly.
See, you can't take the toxic man out of Boston.
No, sir, you cannot. But honorable mention to, and this is like, the neurodivergent people who are listening will understand. I've never really talked about this ever. So Lego has these like lines of toys that are in like this sort of like these sets that are within this sort of general theme. And when I was in like first grade, they came out with one called Rock Raiders. And it was all of these deep mining vehicles with big drills on them, and they had these characters. And one of them was this sandy-haired ginger who was like a driver of one of these truck things. His name was Axel. And he had on this orange vest and this big helmet with goggles and like red hair. And I didn't realize at the time that this was totally a gay crush that I had on a fictional character. I just thought like, oh, he's my favorite one. But when I look back at it, that was such a little gay boy, non-sexual crush. And there's something so special about those relationships.
I was
going
to say, we all had those. We all had those.
And it's so funny for me because it's a piece of plastic this big.
I was going to ask how big it was. Are we talking like it's fully the tiny Lego size?
Like the Lego man is that big.
Wait, so you had your first crush was a inch and a half tall ginger construction Lego man.
I think.
Hey, gay ass girlies, I just read a romance horror book that I think you'd be absolutely obsessed with. Listen to this. It's called House of Rain by New York Times bestselling author Harley LaRue. And at first I was nervous it would be too scary, but y'all, it's scary and horny. And as a newly self-identified slut, I feel seen. Also, it takes place on a remote island in the Pacific Northwest, which I think the Pacific Northwest canonically has the hottest people. So if that doesn't make you squirt, babe, I don't know what will. Also, the book has so many gay-ass themes. I'm talking family drama, there's rumors, manipulation, and again, it's horny as hell. Now, the writing is also so good that it moves real fast, and there's kink in it, and you will not be able to put this down. Harley LaRue is a queer writer who gets it. You can find House of Rain by Harley LaRue wherever books are sold, in print and in ebook. The gorgeous deluxe hardcover first printing is only available for a limited time, so grab yours before they are gone, babe.
I think so.
Can I ask about this divorce a little bit?
Sure.
Because I think that it's really interesting that in our adult lifetimes, gay marriage became legal, and then we were, of course, very excited about that, but we don't often talk or think about the very natural side of relationships ending, especially when it comes to like gay marriage. So did you, I guess question one is, how do you look back on getting married and then getting gay married and then getting gay divorced? Does it feel like something that was like a really important learning lesson? Do you have any regrets? Do you have any things that you carry with you moving forward in dating? Like what's the temperature of your feelings now about it?
I mean, it's been 3.5 years since it ended. After it ended, it was terrible for me. I was drinking so heavily that I would just miss meetings that I was supposed to be running at work, like in the morning. And like looking back, I don't like to regret things. I probably shouldn't have gotten married, but, just as part of my growth and my development, I really am very happy. Like, I'm at a peak right now. I've never been better. I've never felt better. I've never looked better.
Let's celebrate that. Let's take a moment to celebrate that, because that is what
that.
Growth. Would you credit? Are we crediting therapy? Are we crediting drinking
less? Therapy helps. I don't know if it's really drinking less. It's just more taking the time to process through all of the emotions.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't give a fuck as much as I did before. I got a motorcycle after I got divorced, and I moved to San Francisco, and I just started living more. I stopped playing video games. I got rid of my TV. And so I've just been living more intentionally. And when my ex-husband and I, we met when we were in college. I was 20. He was 21.
Oh, wow.
And for people, especially gay men, who you are at 20 is so different from who you are.
Say that.
At 28, that. 29. And it's like, I loved this man. He was in my life for so long.
Yeah.
He's from Northern California, but his family are Okies who fled during the Dust Bowl. So they brought their like Southern twang. And so I just I would go to like cattle roundups with his family, and they were wonderful people. And I still say y'all because of them. And I don't regret it. It's just, God, it was not fun. If I could not go through it again, that'd be fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I hope that for you. But can you tell us, because I was talking last night with some, I was with some married gays. I'm a married gay. We were talking about sort of like, and they were talking about how they broke up at one point and got back together. And I was like, well, how many years into it? And they said it was 6 years. And I was like, well, the 6-7 year itch is very real. I mean, Matt and I absolutely had that. How long were you, if you met in your early 20s and you got divorced 3 years ago, how long were you together?
We were together, so let's see, if we met when I was 20, we got married in 2019 when I was 26, and then we split up 2.5 years later at, I think I was 29.
Wow. So yeah, that's there. I mean, that's a long time. And I think, especially you're talking about like the developmentally speaking, the development of especially gay guys, you know, we really have to be kind to ourselves, because our adolescencies were not really ours in many ways.
Right.
And so I think it is a sign of strength to be like, you know what? I just wish that there was less stigma about divorce. I do. And I'm like very proud to be married, and I'm proud of the hard work that we have done, but I also never want people who break up or get divorced to like let it feel bad, because there are so many couples that should have gotten divorced that didn't. And I'm very happy that you are on this current timeline being happy and hairy and healthy.
And it was such an important part. Like, getting divorced was just as significant in the development of who I am as getting married was. You know, and now I'm great. I love that I'm divorced. I love that I'm 32 and I can already say I've done all that in the past.
Well, I'm sitting in an interesting space because I am now exactly six. We were together 6 years before getting married, mm-hmm. and now we've been married for 6 years. So we're like straight. We've been together for 12 years total. So okay. we are sort of like been together the same amount of time as married people as we were as non-married mm-hmm. people. And yeah. to I don't know, feel the difference of both of those times. It's both like not that different being married and mm-hmm. unmarried, and also incredibly different because like
right.
you are. Forced to figure shit out, especially as we're very much growing up into different people than we were before we were married. And so like
yeah and sometimes that kind of... those people want different things than they did yeah. than they both did 5 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we always shout out the couples therapist that we adore, mm. and our couples therapist is a dream. In fact, we have friends who referred us to this couples therapist, and so now we and other married friends of ours see the same guy, and we got a text yesterday. They were walking around Palm Springs, and they ran into him in person. I don't know though. I was kind of jealous. He's the type of therapist that, like I like want to please. I adore him, and he's also like this like he's like pretty hot, but also like I feel not like I want to fuck my therapist. It's more just like I
right.
you know
watch the therapist
him.
Be what watch the therapist be the guy that tears the marriage apart.
See, that's the rom-com slash horror.
That's the
film
movie.
That
that's
write.
The movie. That's the movie that the gays need right now. They go to the marriage therapist, and then one of them has an affair.
Literally, I had that thought about writing something about this because it's and you're going to write
we'll
it down. We're going to workshop it, and we're both going to now try to pitch opposing gay divorce therapist stories, or we'll do it together. But you know what, Colin Braun, I think it is time for me to get into my horniest of horny questions because it's rare we get to talk to a man who has been traveling through Europe for the past many months. In fact, you spend time in Paris, Switzerland, Berlin. You're currently in Dublin. Are there any memorable slut tales from this European part of your life, or any just slut tales you would like to start us out with?
In a word, yes. So many. A surprising number of American guys have just like I'll see someone at like a this was hilarious. I was in Berlin and I'm walking back to my hotel and I'm in this gay neighborhood and I just see this attractive man coming at me at the crosswalk and I'm going the other way and I kind of turn and he kind of turns and looks at me. And I say my classic pickup line, which is, are you a top? And he said...
For the rest of this interview, head to Substack, linked in the description. You can also watch bonus episodes with Mikey Graceffa from Death Becomes Her, Isaiah Rutledge, Sunset Boulevard's G-Min Moon. We have Derek Cage, Patrick, Nick, Thanos, Mark. They're all hot. The stories are amazing, and you should go check it out at substack.com/@EricWills, linked in the description. I love you. Bye.